How do we get from the only man to score a hat-trick in the World Cup final to a Ballon d'Or World Cup winning captain?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers. With me, Josh and Dave, and we continue to talk the World Cup.
World Cup fever! World Cup fever!
Is that a song? I feel like you've been bought by... to guitar to sing songs and you just made up your own song.
I was just thinking, we don't have any jingles, so why not have a World Cup Fever jingle in the World Cup Fever episodes? So,
Can you sing it again for me?
World Cup Fever! World Cup Fever!
What's the verse? That seems like a chorus, I presume.
Yeah, we've all got World Cup Fever!
I knew that.
Okay, we'll put the jingle on hold.
Yes,
Josh. World Cup episode number 2, episode 52 in total. Who are you talking about here? Let's dive straight into the episode. Who's your Wikipedia page?
Sir Geoffrey Hurst.
Sir Geoff Hurst. I've met him. Have you met him?
No, I haven't. When did you meet him?
I met him at Wembley Stadium when it was brand new and opened, and I got to sit in the England manager dugout, before Steve McLaren, and he was the manager at the time.
I still need more detail. Why were you doing that?
So
were you
on a tour or something? At university, I did an engineering degree, and it was in my final year, and we were involved in some competition with E.ON, who were sponsoring Wembley at the time, and we went up against other universities to present sustainability in large structures or something from an engineering point of view, and we got to the final. The final was held at Wembley, me and my team, and Sir Geoff Hurst was the award presenter, or what it was, like the key, sort of like a keynote speaker, but then presented the awards at the end of it. I wore my football boot, gold football boot cufflinks on my thing, and like I went, we came second or third, I think, so I still got to shake his hand and meet him, and really tall. And I was like, oh, you must be gutted that they knocked the old Wembley down. That's what I said to him. And he was just sort of like, oh, yeah, so are you into your football? I was like, yeah, I'm really into football. I'm more here because I just wanted to see Wembley and do the competition. But yeah, he seemed like a nice guy. Really tall. Really tall.
Really tall, you say. And Wikipedia has him at 6 foot. And Dave, are you lying about your age? Or is
my age?
Wikipedia wrong about your height? Or is Geoff Hurst's Wikipedia page wrong? He's saying 6 foot.
Yeah.
And I think you're knocking around that.
I'm just under 6 foot. If I could be like 5'11 and a half, I think that's what I am. But no one wants to be a half, so I'm 6 foot. But he was taller than me. He was taller than me, definitely.
Maybe he was wearing lifts. Maybe he's embarrassed about his height and was had, you know, inner soles in, high heels. Did you check his heels out?
I didn't check his heels. Didn't see if he's got Jorginho's, whatever they're called.
Sergio Jorginho's.
Yeah. You can still find them.
Yes, I am talking about Sergio first because, as we said at the front, he is the only man to score a hat-trick in a World Cup final, and he did that for England. So he's now 80 years old. Was not only a football player and manager, but also a cricketer and an insurance salesman.
Okay, it got weirder and weirder, because you said manager, and I was going to be like, I have no recollection of him being a manager. Then you said cricketer, and I was like, a lot of footballers also play cricket, which is a bit odd. And then you said insurance salesman.
Yeah, let me take you through his career. So, West Ham youth player, was in the same youth team as Bobby Moore, winning the 1959 Youth Cup final. And then from 59 to 72, he played for West Ham, scoring 180 goals in 411 appearances, so pretty decent. But up until 1962, so, you know, dual wielding, as it were, here, he played cricket for Essex. He only appeared once for their first 11, but 23 times for their second 11. So in the 62-63 season, he's kind of making a choice going, all right, I'm going to focus on football now. So by doing that, he won the FA Cup with West Ham in 1963 versus Preston North End, and then qualified for the Cup Winners' Cup and won the Cup Winners' Cup versus 1860 München in the following season.
Very nice.
But it's 1966 that would define him. So he didn't actually make his debut for England until February 1966.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he wasn't in the starting 11 until the semi-final,
wasn't
it?
He was a backup to Jimmy Greaves and Roger Hunt.
Yeah.
So, to put it in perspective to modern day terms, Hurst, kind of 24-year-old, 8 caps, 3 goals going into the tournament. I know he's not been called up, but that's very similar to a Tammy Abraham now. Tammy Abraham, similar goals, similar caps, similar age. And Jimmy Greaves is very much a Harry Kane in terms of the experienced striker, top goal scorer. But, and so you're right, Jeff Hurst didn't play in the group stage, but in the final group stage match, Jimmy Greaves gets injured, gashed to the leg, so he's out with stitches. And so Hurst replaces him. So quarterfinals, he scores the winner against Argentina. Semi-finals, he lays an assist as Bobby Charlton gets a couple of goals. And then by the time the final comes around, Jimmy Greaves is actually fit again, but the manager, Sarf Ramsey, decides to stick with Jeff Hurst up front. And, I mean, that was the right decision. One which I think, I'd love to have heard Jimmy Greaves' perspective on it. Does he, because he just completely, like, we wouldn't really know of, or it would be a name, but not anywhere near the name he is now if he hadn't played in that final and scored those goals. But, and obviously, that final, we won 4-2, and it just, not only does it is our only, well, at the time of recording, England's only World Cup win.
True, yeah.
Yeah. It also leads to one of the most legendary bits of commentary, I think, ever, for an Englishman. It's funny because every other country will have their own, another fan will have, but as an England fan, can you do it justice? Could you, off the top of your head, can you think of a commentary?
I know what the commentary is. You want me to give it a go in his voice?
Yeah, or... I want it to go,
They think it's all over. It is now. He's a little bit posh.
Your old, but so this, I've got it written here. And here comes Hurst. He's got some people on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now. Now, funnily, in the wording, it says it's for. But I don't remember the last two words being it's for. I just remember him saying it is now.
Yeah, I don't recognise that it's for. But
no. And as an aside, did you ever used to watch the TV programme, I Think It's All Over?
I did, yeah.
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 Yeah. With cricketer David Gower and Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
Good old sport and quizzing. Good times. So
Nick Hancock
did used to host it, yeah. And Rory McGrath, I think, was on.
Rory McGrath, yeah.
Yeah, big old ginger permy look to him there. Yeah. So after the World Cup, he would go on to play in Euro 68, 1970 World Cup, eventually retiring from international football with 24 goals in 49 appearances. So, yeah, he's kind of rocking around the 1-2. After West Ham, he played for Stoke, where he won the Watney Cup.
Hello.
Hey, yeah. He went to Cape Town City, not Cape Town Spurs. Went to West Brom, Cork, Seattle Sounders, and Telford United, where he'd go on to manage them, along with Chelsea. After Chelsea, he would go out the game and became an insurance salesman. But Kuwait SC came along offering bag loads of cash, and he thought, this is too good to turn down. And then he went into management, wasn't great for him.
He went into insurance salesman after his football career.
My God. It was a sign of the times in terms of how much money was in football at the time. It wasn't quite the lucrative profession it is now.
Could you imagine if Harry Kane wins the World Cup and then, like, 6 years later you get him on the phone and he's like, do you want to buy some insurance?
Is that? Is that? Record England goal scorer, scored a hat-trick in the World Cup final in 2022. And so he was then knighted in 1998 and inducted to the English Football Hall of Fame in 2004. And there we have the legend is Sir Jeff Hurst.
Okay. One, I've not looked at his page in great detail. That's your job. It's your starting point to go through it. And
you've not looked at Fabio Cannavaro's page in good detail either.
You're right, I haven't, but I was keeping that a secret. a bit contentious point here, right?
Right.
Top right summary, as always, which is the point I generally look at. National team, why does it say Football League 11, 1966 to 72?
As far as I can see, not in the words, but it intrigues me.
Well, get rid from the top right summary. That's not a national team, is it? It's not England.
Well, We'll find out when it's our, probably our first click of the day.
Yeah, true. All right. So, but we've got to get from the hat-trick goal-scoring Sir Geoff Hurst to, well, a very small centre-back, Josh. How do you feel about small centre-backs? Obviously, they're, you know, lots of talking points in the Premier League this year with Lisandro Martinez. Is Fabio Cannavaro the original small centre-back that you think of?
For my era, yeah. I think it's only notable when we have access to players' heights in terms of statistics.
Okay.
Because it's not... line-ups, before an England match, you see, they pan across, they're all singing the national anthem. You can see heights relative to people, can't you? From the way a player plays is you determine how good they are in the air. Because, you know, Peter Crouch, for example, 6'7", he almost seemed like he got shorter when he jumped.
He did.
Because he was so frail, a defender could put their arm on his back, he'd hunch over, double over like he was bending in two. And so he didn't really have that much of a jump. But whereas some players, like, for example, Lucas Moura of Tottenham, not especially tall, but he's got a great leap on him, excellent in the air. So for me, I don't really care. I just care if they win their aerial battles.
Yeah.
For a liability on the pitch. So I think it's even more impressive that you have players who, despite their stature and perceived weakness, go on to disprove it. So no issue. Nice.
Because I remember when Italy won the World Cup and Fabio Cannavaro was captain and then he won the Ballon d'Or, there was this whole thing of he's so small. It was a big conversation then about how he's so small and the lead up to the World Cup and how it was, well, to exploit Italy, clearly you just put your tall man on Fabio Cannavaro and it obviously wasn't that easy. But a little bit of background about him. So he took over the captaincy after Paolo Maldini's retirement in 2002 from Italy. And took over there. So that's when he really stepped into the fray nationally. But before that, what I say Fabio Cannavaro, what club comes to mind?
Juventus.
Oh, okay. So for me, it's Parma, because I always used to sign him really early on.
True, yeah. I mean, that's out there. So there's obviously the Parma side of Cannavaro, Lilian Thuram and Gigi Buffon.
Yeah, which is
great, yeah.
CMO 102 all over it.
And also Real Madrid. They're the three that come to mind.
Okay, so yeah, his career, he actually started at Napoli before moving to Parma. So Napoli at 1991 to 95 with his first senior years, one goal in 58. Parma, he was there from 1995 to 2002, 212 appearances, which is the big bulk of his career, five goals. And then Inter after that, 2002-2004, 50 appearances there, two goals. Juventus, 74 appearances, six goals. Real Madrid, 94 appearances, no goals. Juventus, 27 appearances, no goals. And then finished in Al Hilal with 16 appearances and two goals. And it's interesting that for Italy, 136 appearances. It's absolutely crazy. You've got your hand in the air again, like you're at school, like last week.
It's 29 when he leaves Parma.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
He's 29, that's you'd think... Some players don't go on to have much of a career after that. He's played for Inter, Juve, Real Madrid after that.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of those clubs were made, or not the clubs, but he was dining off his Parma career at that point? He was good. He was always good, but he was such prominent in that Parma team. I mean, it's a hard one to sort of cover, right? Because he won the World Cup in 2006 when he was moving from Juventus to Real Madrid.
Yeah, they signed off the back of it, didn't they? So one of the kind of typical old style Real Madrid signings, that kind of buy the big name. So didn't they? There's a couple of players moved from Juventus in that era. Was that when Gianluca Zambrotta went to Barcelona off the back of it, I think?
Oh, he might have done, yeah.
And I think Emerson from Juve moved to Real Madrid at the same time, a centre mid, Emerson.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. He has gone on to have a management career as well, a very strange one. He's been... I can remember when he was announced as Guangzhou's manager out in China, replacing... Do you know who he replaced?
Oh, God knows.
Sven-Goran Eriksson. He replaced, in Guangzhou. He actually stepped up to be Al Halil's assistant manager before that, after finishing his playing career with them. He went Guangzhou, Al Nassr, back to China with Tianjin Quanjin, back to Guangzhou, and managed the Chinese national team whilst manager of Guangzhou, and then packed it all in China, had a year off, and now manages Benevento.
Yeah, so he's gone into European leagues now, which is... wasn't he linked with like the Everton job a while back?
He was linked with... Was it Everton? I think it was Everton, yeah.
He was definitely a Premier League side. I'm clutching at straws thinking it was Everton, but there's definitely been some links with him. Do you reckon we'll see him come into the Premier League? I mean, he's currently rocking a 14% win rate with Benevento.
Yeah, I was going to get onto that. No, I don't think we will, because he's not been that successful anywhere he's been. And you've got to remember, when he was at Guangzhou the first time, that's when it was China had no limits on money it could spend on players and how many influx of foreigners it could have. So, no, on his current record, I'd probably say, no, we're not gonna see him in. But, yeah, a really good centre-back, World Cup winner, Ballon d'Or. He's got lots of honours with him as well. So, as a player, UEFA Cup with Parma. This is now... weighs in to Fabio Cannavaro, I think we're talking here.
No Champions League.
No Champions League. UEFA Cup 1998-99, Coppa Italia 98-99, 2001-2002. The Supercoppa Italia, La Liga with Real Madrid twice, not quite back to... Is that back-to-back? Yeah, back-to-back. 2006-07 and 2007-2008. Italy under-21 championships, under-21 championships with Italy in 94 and 96. The World Cup in 2006. And then his individual awards are just all around that 2006, 2000, 2004, 2006 sort of era. And then it's the ones with like Team of the Decade and stuff like that. So
I've got a question for you on honours. What do you see as the top honour? Say you're English centre-back and you're playing top level. So you're playing for Man United. What's the top honour you can win? Is it a World Cup? Is it a Premier League medal, Champions League medal? What do you see as your top...
I think if you're in the national team, like a constant player, if I was the starting centre-back for England, I think the pinnacle is the World Cup. I think that is the pinnacle to win, because it's such a rare thing to do in your career, because it's once every 4 years, you have to be fit at the exact time, you have to be playing at that exact time. The Champions League, I think, if you're not in that top bracket of continually representing England, then Champions League's the next thing I think you want to win. But even then, it's a toss-up between that and the Premier League. How often are you going to win it? And that's the... Like Chelsea players, right, that have won the Champions League under Tuchel last season, but haven't won the Premier League. That's a weird one to take, because they've got... They should have a higher chance of winning the Premier League, but they haven't.
Okay, so then what do you think about, say, it was someone to win... So look, Alan Shearer, for example.
Yeah.
Would we remember him if he wasn't the top goal scorer in the Premier League of all time? He's got a Premier League winners' medal, but we don't really remember him for that, do we? So is that individual accolade he's got even better than winning a Premier League medal?
So that's I'd say that's a tough one, because of the evolution of technology and data from when he won the Premier League to actually how many goals he scored at Newcastle. And because the bulk of his goals in the Premier League came at Newcastle. Yes, he scored loads for Blackburn, but they did come at Newcastle. I just think that's a step of the time. Oh, it's an odd one. It's an odd one.
Because you look at it and think, how many people win a Premier League Golden Boot, for example?
Yeah.
Typically one a season. So it'll be shared of it, but if you look at it, there'd be 20 odd winners. But who have that accolade. But in terms of people who have Premier League winners' medals, that'll be 20 per season. It's just a funny way of looking at it in terms of what you can achieve.
It is.
But we are talking about Sir Geoff Hurst. We're going to Fabio Cannavaro. We've got some roots in. We've got some, you know, awards he's won, some honours he's won, some clubs he's managed. We do need to touch on World Cup in between this. We set a rule last week.
We do.
We need to go somewhere World Cup related in between clicks. So where's our first port of call? We could obviously straight away knock it out of the bag and have a World Cup click straight away, or do we want to go to the
Football League 11, right? He scored 4 in 7 in an international team. I've got to stress that. This is listed as an international team.
I've got a feeling we've mentioned this before in terms of something to do with the Watney Cup or something like that, in terms of who could appear for it. And
right, well, we gave ourselves a slap on the wrist last time, so I want to double cross-check everything in this episode. Yeah. I don't want us stumbling again over the World Cup scenarios and where have we been and haven't we been, and you start reading a paragraph and I'm like, I've heard this before, and I don't think I've read it in my spare time.
We are good to go. We have not been on that page before. Let's go. The Football League 11, where Geoff Hurst has made 7 appearances, scoring 4 goals. football, the English Football League 11 was a representative side of the Football League. The team regularly played against the Scottish Football League 11 and other National League select teams between 1891 and 1976. For a long period, the annual fixture between the English and Scottish leagues was only second in importance to the matches between the two national teams. The fixture declined in importance, however, particularly after regular European club competition was instituted in the 1950s. Later matches were played irregularly and poorly attended, with the last match against the Scottish League being played in March 1976. Other than the interleague fixtures, the match was played against the English national team in 1963 as part of the Football Association centenary celebrations, ending a 3-3 draw. Okay, so aside from one-off exhibition matches against the Glasgow FA in 1977 and against the World 11 at Wembley, that's a clickable link, the Football League 11's most recent games have been against the Italian League. Oh, there's nothing there. Which a regular fixture in the 1990s and most recently played as an under-21 fixture in 2006. Do we have the Italian? We do. Oh no, it's just links Serie A, Serie B. But oh, there's no.
I'm confused. I'm confused.
What on earth? Oh, it's got win percentages. I was wondering why there's hundreds. So that's all the text on here. Then we have a table beneath which has results by opponent. So Scottish Football League 11 have played 75 times, Irish 63, that's Northern Irish, Republic of Ireland 17, Italian 13 with no data. England played once, it says here, but we know that Jeff Hurst has got 7 appearances.
Yeah, and I'm...
We've got an Army 11, an All-British 11.
What's the difference between this and the national team? How do you get picked for the English Football League 11 and not picked? Because this is... well before the Premier League, so everything is called the Football League. So I don't get it. I don't understand. If you pick for this, why are you not picked for the England national team?
It's not determined by nationality, though, I suppose. I suppose even then, back then, there was a very little mix of it. But this would be a Premier League 11, would it not be?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we could have Kevin De Bruyne alongside Harry Kane and things like that.
Right. Okay.
It's how I kind of understand it. But where we go, so it's really, it's a big shame that we don't have, we can't see a kind of Italian League 11 here because it's just linked Serie A, Serie B.
Now, I'm conscious about this because the Belgian League 11, which is there, is highlighted in the colour, which means we've already clicked it, and I know that we've been to the Belgian League. So the 11 is just going to take you to that league, right?
I think it might just be a little subsection of each page saying about it. There is an All-British 11 on there, which probably can link to the world, the Olympic teams, like Team GB type thing.
Yeah, probably Team GB. I don't know where Glasgow 11 will take us. Maybe just to Glasgow.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Football Alliance 11 is. That's piqued my interest. I have no idea where it will take us.
Yeah, that's very true.
I don't think we can go Serie A and Serie B. It's too big to take out the Serie A.
We also got rest of the world here.
Or we have got rest of the world. Or the World 11 as well, isn't it? So there's.
Yeah,
do you reckon
I
rest of the
may
world?
Be the same thing, but yeah. World 11, I think that's probably where we need to go rather than get stuck in the doldrums of British football.
Yeah, but remember, if Fabio Cannavaro, because it might have World 11s that have played in like UNICEF tournaments and the one Robbie Williams organises, we can't click on Fabio Cannavaro.
Yeah, if Fabio Cannavaro is there, we've got to go somewhere World Cup based. But I think going to a World 11 stands a good chance of having someone World Cup related or maybe a tournament related to it.
We're going to click World 11 in the text, not the rest of the world, yeah? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
World 11, also known as the FIFA World Stars, is an association football team consisting of players from this is intriguing. The World 11 play one-off games against clubs, national teams, collectives of continental teams. First official match was held when we talked about the 100th anniversary of the FA in 1963. The World lost 2-1 in front of a crowd of 100,000. FIFA organised several World 11 squads to compete in various competitive exhibitions and charity testimonials.
Right.
The only official games listed were against national, pan-continental or representative teams, including New York Cosmos, Hamburg, Benfica, Anderlecht, Flamengo, Barcelona, Man United and Real Madrid are not included. Okay. Oh, so we have now a list of...
We've got... It's a gold mine, Josh. It's a gold mine. We've got a list of games against World 11s. Scorers. We've got appearances. We've got who made the team even lower down. This is incredible.
Oh, we have got a lot here. Okay, so let's just we'll run through. So first match, Jimmy Greaves got the winning goal in the 90th minute against FIFA World 11 Law, scoring 82. Is that Dennis Law at that time? Was Dennis Law a bit later on?
That must be Dennis Law. I assume it must be Dennis Law, yeah.
We have, I don't know, so they beat in 1967, World 11 beat Spain 3-0 with Mazzola, who's Italian midfielder, I think it was, Eusebio and Guibert, which looks a bit Belgian to me.
Belgian to me, yeah.
Yeah, we have Brazil beat them first time that they had, and the second time that they lost with Rivellino and Tostão scoring. We've got Pelé on the list, Maradona. Oh, we played against the FIFA World 11, played against a European 11, which is intriguing. So that means it's a World 11 excluding Europe, you're presuming?
Yeah.
Where Kevin Keegan gets a goal. There's a World 11 versus an America's 11. And what's the last match on this list?
Wow.
2005.
No. Yeah. Because keep scrolling below the players, and then there's unofficial games which go down to 2007.
Oh yes, a Legends game, or there's a women's game, there's a Legends game. So yeah. Oh, in the Legends game, Abedi Pele scored there.
Oh yeah,
which is the not Jean's. Whose dad is it? It's
the Ayew's.
Ayew's father.
So yeah, we've got a long list of names, a long list of players. What do you want to do?
I'm loving the World Dream Soccer exhibition match in 2001. We have Argentina versus FIFA World 11. Lopez, which I'm going to guess is Claudio Lopez. Pablo Aimar grabs a couple. Maradona gets a couple. And Lucas Castroman gets one against Davor Suka, Eric Cantona, and Reni Higuita scoring an 89th-minute penalty.
Love that.
Okay, that's a beautiful match.
Yeah, I've got a thought. There must be someone here that played in the same World Cup final as Cannavaro. Yeah, exactly. Zamorano?
So
no, he's Chilean.
We have Cannavaro. So who did they play against as well? Ooh. France, was it?
It'll be in Cannavaro's page somewhere. World Cup winner. They beat Germany in the semi-finals. Yeah, it doesn't actually say. Yeah, France.
Was it Del Piero's goal in the final? Del Piero's goal in the final? That's, oh, God. I'm so bad at my memory of what happened.
Well, we'll find out, hopefully, if we get through it.
Okay.
Get into
so,
it.
But if we go for an Italian from that time, around the kind of 2000s, who do we have knocking around? Roberto Baggio would have been overlap. He was obviously Italian 90, 94. Probably unlikely to be overlap there, isn't there?
I don't think he went to 2006, no. Don't tell me there's no Italian. Are we going French as well? Are we saying French is open?
Matt Letizia is in a... what's this section here? This is just a players section who played in these matches. Matt Letizia just rocks up. Okay. There's not many. So there is actually the Italian national football team in the December 1998. Gianluca Pagliuca is in there.
Yeah.
We have Christian Vieri. Been there. We've been to Christian Vieri.
Been to Vieri. Can't have that.
Roberto Baggio.
Hang on. Charity match for the SOS Children's Village, 15th of February 2005. Shevchenko 11 versus the Ronaldinho 11. And Del Piero scored the second goal of the game. No, third goal of the game for Shevchenko 11. That's so Del Piero could be our man. By the way, this seems like a well good game. Del Piero, Zola and Suazo scored for Shevchenko 11. Eto, Henri Camara, Ronaldinho and Chardou Ree scored for Ronaldinho's 11.
Chardou Ree, that is a name I have not heard in a while. That's from East South Korea, that's from 2002, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. So I would love to go to a game like that nowadays and just get pissed up.
It's even matches like the Masters football, I think, would just be great fun to watch.
Yeah.
Just old boys, but then they're going to be players that we know as well now. I used to watch Masters football as a kid and it was like, who's Craig Ignat? I mentioned him because we previously mentioned Masters football. I know Craig Ignat is. Okay, so we're going to go to Alessandro Del Piero.
I think we are, yeah. I'm happy with that. Alessandro Del Piero, born November 9th, 1974, is an Italian former professional footballer who played as a deep-lying forward. He was capable of playing in several offensive positions. He's been a pundit for Sky Sports Italia, technically gifted, a creative supporting forward. He was also a free-kick specialist. Career-wise, oh yeah, he moved to Sydney. I forgot about that. Oh my word, crazy. Padova started his career, 14 appearances, one goal. That was enough to convince Juventus to buy him, which was a masterstroke of a move. 513 appearances for Juventus, 208 goals, 48 appearances for Sydney FC, 24 goals, so 1-2. And then the move after that was Delhi Dynamos, 10 appearances, 1 goal. And for Italy, 91 senior appearances, 27 goals. What have you got for me, Josh? What you found?
Not much. He was in the 2006 World Cup, though, so that is a... He has got that in his honours. Just looking through his international goals, scored against Northern Ireland, so he can tick that box. Do you fan of him as a player? Memories of him as a player? Anything you actually sticks out?
I don't think I've got much that sticks out, but I was a fan of him on PES or ISS maybe back in those days. I can't remember which one it would have been, but he was always fun to use in games like that. And yeah, he was. I want to say he was around the Ronaldo era at Inter, and there was always a bit of a face-off between Juventus and Inter, and it was sort of like the Italian phenomenon versus the phenomenon, which Ronaldo
was. Really?
Yeah, I can remember something like that. But no, I don't really... He doesn't really stick it. More sticks in my memory for Italy.
Yeah, the goal I remember is it was when... I think it might have been in the Euros, where he... There was a breakaway goal, and he kind of just... really great, like, opened his body to get a kind of that whipped goal in to score. I think it was the semi-final in the Euros. Are you a fan of One Club Men, or do you think it's like you'd love to have seen them go somewhere? Like, you know, you could have done something, because there's a rumour of because obviously Juventus would have been relegated whilst I was there, but I remember reading comments around Sir Alex saying that he tried to buy him, but Del Piero was like, no, I'm sticking with my club.
I think when it's like that with Del Piero and Paul Scholes and people like that, you're sort of like, there's a intrinsic value in loyalty to it. Like, if Harry Kane always stayed at Spurs, I think you could appreciate it that he did it because he really wanted to win something with Spurs. Whether he does or not, you can see that loyalty in there. And I do like that. It's the sort of one main club that are just sort of bouncing around and not doing much. I think if you're a one-man club, you've got to be really in amongst it.
Yeah, you wouldn't be challenging. It's kind of like the Matt Letizia of this. You kind of think, could he have gone on and done something? Just looking here, it's funny, there's style of play, there's lots of different player profile. There's a style of play, position and reception, set pieces, Del Piero goal and zone. The football media refer to a Del Piero goal, a style of scoring involving a dribbling approach from the flank, followed by a precise curling lob into the far top corner of a goal from outside the area, with a player's stronger foot after cutting into the centre. So this is kind of like cutting from the left and then whipping it into the far corner. Kind of like the kind of, you know, the inverse, kind of Gareth Bale, I'm thinking there, kind of like dribbling in from the side, the inverted winger, as it were.
Yeah, I'm just having a quick read of his personal life, and this bit took me by surprise. Del Piero has a keen interest in music. He has recorded some of his own albums. Along with Marco Materazzi, Del Piero appeared on stage at a Rolling Stones show in Milan shortly after Italy's World Cup win. He's good friends of musician and singer Noel Gallagher and a fan of his former band Oasis. Del Piero appears in the Oasis video Lord Don't Slow Me Down.
Mm.
There you go.
He runs an Italian restaurant in LA called Number 10.
Yeah. Wow.
But the key bit here is in his international career section, in the 2004-2008 World Cup champion and post-World Cup, in the second line it says in the final against France, which ended 1-1 extra time, Del Piero scored a penalty in a shootout as Italy won the tournament for a fourth time. So I think we click on that in blue final, we'll get to where we want to go.
Hang on, I'm just tracking it down.
I want you to name me... You can choose which country. 5 Frenchmen or 5 Italians played in this match.
Oh, my word.
And we'll score, so whoever gets the most gets wins. So if you choose, you get 3 Frenchmen, I get 3 Italians, or whichever way. So go for it.
Am I allowed to name the Italians that we already know are there?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go Italians then.
Okay.
So are we doing it one each, or are we doing it, I'll just do my lot and you do your lot?
So... Yeah, you do your lot. Then you go down and check them. So you're going to go Cannavaro.
Yeah, Cannavaro.
Yeah.
Is it anyone in the squad?
Yeah, anyone okay. Listed in that list below.
Okay, 2006. Okay, Cannavaro, Buffon, Del Piero, Materazzi, Zambrotta.
Okay, that's your 5.
Yeah, I feel a bit cheeky by using Cannavaro because he's a link. So,
well, yeah, you made your bed.
I'll replace him with Pirlo.
Okay, so no Cannavaro.
Yeah, so I've taken out a dead cert and put in someone that I'm not 100% sure about.
Still another dead cert on there. So
yeah.
So you can now scroll down and check out, so you can then verify my answers.
Oh my word! It doesn't give you the full squad. So there's a little hint for you.
No, I'm not expecting. I'm expecting 11 and 5 subs, whatever it is.
It's not even that.
Just the 11.
It gives you 11 and the 3 subs that came on.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go for. So this is Zidane's final, isn't it?
Might be.
This is Zidane's final. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the headbutt one because we went to penalties and that one went to penalties. So I'm okay. So we've got Zidane. He would have been playing in a side with. Thierry Henry would have been there. We would have had.
Do you want me to say yes or no as you say them?
Because yeah, you might as well say yeah.
Right,
yeah,
so Zidane, yes. Henry, yes.
Is this Hugo Lloris era? So that's what, 16 years ago? He's only 20. No, it's not Hugo Lloris era. They're going to Lizarazu.
No.
Oh, is it Everett? Is it Everett era?
No.
Oh, no. I doubled down on left back.
The thing is, they might have been. Lizarazu may have been in the squad.
Yeah.
But he wasn't one of the.
Well, I'm just going to stick to fullbacks now and go Willy Sanyol and just make my bed. That's my 5 players, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah.
So I was going to ask you a question and be like, can you guess the left back?
I remember saying before this tournament, or before this match, that Abidal was. I can't remember which way it went. I remember making a claim against Eric Abidal and he went to completely disapprove me in the match. And of course, we've got Will Tord and Trezeguet. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So the complete lineups then for Italy, it was Buffon in goal, Zambrotta, Cannavaro as captain alongside Materazzi, and Fabio Grosso, who I remember scoring the winning penalty now that I've thought about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, good left foot on him.
Yeah. Camoranesi, Gattuso, Pirlo and Perotta in midfield, Francesco Totti starting in behind Luca Toni up front, and then off the bench was Daniele De Rossi, Iaquinta up front and Alessandro Del Piero.
That's when you know you're going to penalties. You're bringing on Del Piero in the 86th minute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so for France, Barthez, Willy Sagnol, Lilian Thuram, William Gallas, both who I thought about mentioning, Eric Abidal, Vieira, Makélélé holding the fort with Ribéry, Zidane and Malouda ahead with Thierry Henry leading the line. Coming on, we had Alou Diarra, David Trezeguet and Sylvain Wiltord. Alou Diarra?
Yeah.
Alou Diarra. Who did he play for notably? Wasn't he a Bordeaux? I think it was played for Bordeaux, but I don't remember him playing for anyone big.
Was he not Barcelona? Did he not have like a couple of seasons at Barcelona? Like, not, he didn't set the world alight.
Well, I don't recall that.
Oh, okay. You were saying about bringing on Del Piero in the 86th minute when it's going to penalties. Poor old David Trezeguet on the 100th minute and then missed his penalty.
Oh, God. I wonder if Gareth Southgate's learned about bringing people on for penalties. Yeah. You look at this for the Euro 2000 Cup final, you'd see 119 minute, a couple of subs and penalties, crosses for Sancho and Rashford, wouldn't you?
Ouch. But it wouldn't be ideal. But interestingly, both goal scorers were the people that are involved in Zidane sending off. Zidane scored a penalty, got sent off, and Materazzi scored for a corner from Italy. But yeah, it was a good tournament, this one. I remember it being quite a good tournament.
I can't claim to know what happened because I can't completely forget everything.
It was Germany. It was the World Cup in Germany. It was
okay. So yeah, this is tail end of university. Tail end of university around here, in university.
Yeah. It was just before the Jumbalani ball was introduced, Josh, from the last episode. Yeah. This is the Adidas team geist. Yeah.
How did England do in this?
Oh, that's a very good question.
This is a Portugal loss, I'm imagining. Is this a Wayne Rooney,
Ronaldo? I think this is. Well, this is just about the final, isn't it? So we might not be.
Yeah, we're not going to find that out. Yeah.
No, but France finished second in their group behind Switzerland in this tournament.
Yeah.
Italy trumped Ghana in their one. Yes, the semi-final was France v Portugal, and I think it would have been France v England if we had beaten Portugal. I think it was in that one. So, okay. Yeah, lovely. The final, Josh. I mean, is there much else we can say about it? France absolutely dominated that game. 13 shots to 5, were there only 6 on target? So maybe they were from
still
range.
Twice as many, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
More corners, a lot of fouls from France, but also a red card. Yeah. Actually, it's a fun fact. It marked 14th overall expulsion of Zidane's career. and meant he joined Cameroon's Rigobert Song as the only player ever to be sent off in during two separate World Cup tournaments. Excellent. And the fourth player to be red carded in a World Cup final, and the first player to be sent off in extra time.
Nice.
Records aplenty. Right, well, let's click through to our friend and yours, Fabio Cannavaro.
Yeah, who, ironically, I've just quickly read on the World Cup final page, was awarded the trophy in the absence of Sepp Blatter, who normally does the handover.
Do we know why?
It was the German president did it.
Okay.
German President Koller did it. Yeah. Don't know why. Doesn't say.
All right. Well, in this, well, we draws a close to the World Cup special with players that provoked Dave and I to remember. So I started with Sir Geoff Hurst, who had made 7 appearances, 4 goals for the Football League 11. They had competed against a World 11. And in that, we have a charity match for SOS Children's Villages, Shevchenko 11, Ronaldinho 11, and in that Del Piero play, we thought he's going to have some crossover with Fabio Cannavaro. Indeed he did. He played in that 2006 World Cup final. We can see the lineups. We click through to the captain, Fabio Cannavaro, where we end it in a succinct 4 clicks and ticking the box of going to a World Cup in between as well.
Lovely stuff. And I was just thinking as you were recapping where we went and where we clicked, a little bit lucky, innit? Went to a World 11 and actually came up. We went then used a game which didn't have a World 11 in it. It was Shevchenko 11 versus Ronaldinho. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. It could have been much tougher because we were left with some Italian players of yesteryear rather than ones which had any overlap with Fabio Cannavaro. But yeah.
Yeah.
Lady luck.
Exactly. And it brings an end to this week's podcast. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed it, please do let us know and give us your suggestions on future Wikipedia pages to use. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers and on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. So thank you very much. We'll see you for the next World Cup themed episode in a week's time. Goodbye.